Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And Kyle, I think everybody expected an easy win last week when we opened against La Tech. We got it in terms of 52-24. It's kind of one of those things where some of those games against, you know, you don't want to say an inferior opponent, but a smaller opponent, one you're expected to win, sometimes you can't take a lot away from those games. But I think there was a lot to talk about from this one. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot to take away. There were some initial jitters on the offense. I think Mizzou only ran three offensive plays in like the first 9 minutes of the game.
Right.
But the defense played fantastic, and the transfers came up huge, just like we expected.
Right. Yeah, that's one of those things where I think everybody wanted to see Luther Burden, and I think the immediate aftermath is just as good as advertised.
Yeah, it's a good place to start, because that kid is electric.
Yeah.
My goodness, watching him with the ball in his hands is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, his receiving touchdown, I mean, you know, line of scrimmage was the five. He moves in pre-snap motion. You know, Brady Cook throws him the ball at about the seven. And there were three defenders directly in front of him.
Right.
Between him and the end zone. He makes all three of them miss and then charges through another to reach into the end zone.
Right.
For a touchdown. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things where you look at it and go, many times you don't have somebody fulfill all expectations. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely a matter of he fulfilled all the expectations. Just as good as advertised. Plus, he was, you know, it's the only thing you can say about maybe in a debut like that is, well, did we maybe use him too much against a team where you didn't maybe necessarily need to? But how much of that is we're going to be using him a lot going forward, so we might as well get used to using him a lot.
I think from the way you saw him used and from the way he looked when he had the ball, the best way to say it is that Missouri's going to have to use him.
Okay.
When you have a player who looks like that and can play like that, I know it's only La Tech only. That's not an SEC opponent.
You know, right.
Their defenses are going to get better.
Sure.
But when you've got someone who looks that good carrying the ball, you have to get him the ball.
Right, right. And at what point do you go, okay, what do we think maybe, you know, ideally, or, I mean, obviously, ideally, you get him the ball whenever you want to going forward. But what do we think maybe his ideal usage rate is when we start, you know, getting to a maybe game like this week where we're going to be playing Kansas State to step up in competition or against an SEC school? What do we see like maybe the ideal number of touches, ideal number of situations where we see him, you know, being forced to have an impact on a game?
Yeah, so he officially got 6 touches last week, 3 receiving, 3 rushing.
Seemed like a lot more just based on what happened on those 6.
It did.
Yeah.
And the 3 rushing came out of the Wildcat, which was interesting.
Right.
You know, lining him up to take the direct snap, great way to get him the ball.
Sure.
I'm not sure how much that will come into play
right.
in the future. I would assume you might see him get more of his rushing carries on sweeps or off of pre-snap motion, that type of thing, instead of out of a Wildcat.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. From how much of that is just maybe put that thought in people's minds and make them prepare for it, and then we may never see it again. But they'll have to prepare for it just because they know that you might have that in your bag of tricks.
I think that was part of it, and maybe also part of it was just like, we want to show the fans, like, This is how good this guy
right,
can look
right,
when he's got the ball.
Right.
And there's no issue getting him the ball if you just give it right to him.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of those things I think that everybody going to the game that day wanted to see that. So, of course, you do have to have a lot of that where you're like, what are we going to do? Not show it to the people when they're coming out to look for it?
Right.
So that, you know.
And there were also a couple. His numbers, you know, just yards-wise don't look incredible. He had 3 catches for 17. You know, whatever. There were a couple of deep balls attempted from Brady Cook to Burden, and they were an inch away. He had one where he reached out with one hand on a ball coming down in front of him and had it in his hand, and then it just fell out right at the end. You know, I think those plays are going to hit once they get, you know, that timing just right, which will come.
Yeah.
And if you hit on one or two of those, that 3 for 17 becomes 4 for 60.
Right.
Or becomes 5 for 100.
Right.
Right. You know, and it's just, that's going to start hitting. And I think when those start coming a little more, you might see the usage change a bit from what you saw last year.
Sure. You mentioned Cook, and that's the next good place to start, because I think at the beginning of the year we thought, okay, we had like kind of 3 or 4 questions. You know, how good is Luther Burden? What about Brady Cook? What about the situation of running back? So let's start with Brady Cook and say, how did that look for an opener?
Brady looked fine.
Okay.
There's only so much. That's kind of the place where I'm like, yeah, there's not much to take away from playing La Tech.
Right.
Right. I mean, he made a couple of impressive throws on third down. He kept the sticks moving when it was needed, but it's a no pressure situation.
Sure.
You go up in the second quarter, you're up multiple scores mostly the rest of the way. You know, you're able to run the ball very effectively. So there just wasn't any pressure on him at really any point that I could tell. So, yeah, he looked good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's really anything to take away from that game. I think this week against Kansas State will be much more telling of what he's able to do going forward.
And then at running back, we were kind of curious, well, okay, who's going to kind of, you know, emerge from, you know, the Nathaniel Pete, Cody Schrader kind of double-headed monster. And it looks like Schrader may end up being the workhorse back, and Pete's going to be the guy that, because they both end up with about 70 yards rushing, you know, Cook had 60. So, you know, it ends up looking like a real nice rushing total. But do we know anything, you know, do we get a better feel for, you know, what that looks like at running back now for them after that performance?
Schrader got the load. I mean, he had 17 carries. Nobody else had 10. So it seems like they want to give him the ball the most.
Right.
I would say Nathaniel Pete looked better. You know, he had 2 more yards on 9 less carries, so that's something. He also had a couple of pretty nice carries of more than 10 yards that were brought back by penalties.
Okay.
So that could have been closer to 100 on 10, you know. Pete, when he had the ball in his hand, I think looked better than Schrader did. Schrader broke one for 26 or so. That kind of brought his average up from like 2.5 a carry to over 4.
Right.
And after that, his day looked a lot better. But it seems like the trust, at least going into last week, was more in Schrader.
Then on the defensive side, so what do we make of the 24 given up? Do we feel like that's a reasonable number for how the game played out? Is it too much? Is it too, you know, is it just right? What do you think?
I think it's fine. I mean, it was a field goal in the first quarter. You know, you're down 3-0 in the first quarter.
Right.
It doesn't look great. But, yeah, it was a field goal in the first quarter and then 3 long touchdowns, mostly coming late in the game. You know, I think it was overall fine. The long touchdowns are whatever. That happens sometimes. A guy gets lost in the middle of the field and, you know, streaks by you for 75. Right. And that makes the whole day look worse.
Right.
But yeah, the 3 touchdowns were 75, 64, and 37. If you take those out, I mean, obviously you can't. But
right.
If you disregard those 3 plays, it's 3 points and the defense looks significantly better. They also only allowed 11 yards rushing, but La Tech's an air raid. They weren't really trying to run the ball,
right,
so that's,
right,
you know, that's whatever.
The good thing is, I guess, you come up with 3 interceptions, though, against a team that wants to throw the ball, so that's, you know, something where you go, okay, that was, you know what, they want to throw it a lot, you want to take some of those away, you're able to do that, too.
Well, and had another 2 taken back by penalties.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was the first time, I think, since the 70s that Mizzou had 3 interceptions and a half, and all 3, you know, we talked about transfers going into last week. We already talked about Nathaniel Pete and Cody Schrader running back. The 3 interceptions all came from transfers, too. In Teron Hopper, Jalen Carlisle, and Joseph Charleston. Those are all guys who are new to the defense and all came up huge immediately.
Yep. Good deal. Defense is going to have to come up big. Offense is going to have to come up big because, like we mentioned, you take a step up in competition. So 11 o'clock Saturday, ESPN2, you're at K-State. So You know, you got that kind of first game under your belt. Now it's time to get ready for, you know, a much more high profile, much more kind of fan interest sort of game. Whereas, you know, a lot of people tuned out after they got to see a little bit of Luther Burden last week. I don't think anybody's going to be tuning out early on this one. I think this is going to be one of those games that's going to have everybody's attention.
I hope so. This, you know, it's a fun matchup between teams who haven't seen each other in about 11 years.
Yeah.
You know, since Missouri left the Big 12,
yep.
Matchup of old foes. You know, this it should be a fun one. Kansas State, you know, they played South Dakota last week and won 34-0. So
yeah.
That's another game where it's like, yeah, you should win by 30.
Sure. And you want to, you know, ideally, if you're going to go into those games, you ideally want to pitch a shutout. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you give up, like we talked about, late scores, fluky scores, whenever it happens. They didn't give up any score. So they obviously got out of that one what they wanted.
Yeah. I mean, defensively, definitely. Offensively, you know, they got 297 on the ground. That's pretty impressive.
Sure.
But about, I think, 53 through the air. So didn't throw a lot. Still had 11 for 15 passing for the starting quarterback for 50. Oh, the starting quarterback at 53. That's what it was.
Okay.
They put in a backup who also had about 40-ish.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Is that something where we look at it? So yeah, you look at it 53 and 42. They end up with 95 yards passing. Is that what we're going to kind of, I mean, is that what they want to be? Is that what they think they are this year? Is it going to be, you know, more, you know, dependent on the run than the pass? Or is that just one of those games where you just go, you know, a game like that, it's just tough to tell?
Probably both. Kansas State's always kind of bucked the Big 12 trend a little bit.
Sure.
Been more of a rushing heavy team in a passing heavy conference. But I expect they will be a rushing focused team. I'm not sure how much to take away from only having, you know, whatever it was, 100 through the air in a game like that, because at a certain point, why throw it?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
First play from scrimmage, they had a receiver take off for a 75-yard touchdown. They had Deuce Vaughn, had 18 carries for 126.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're able to do that, do it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Why risk throwing the ball when you don't have to?
So the quarterback is Adrian Martinez, which it seems like it's another one of those Martinezes we've seen for a long, long time, but he is a senior quarterback. So I guess that's another thing where you look at it and go, maybe that's a guy whose role does expand, you know, as we kind of go along. And you're not playing maybe an overmatched opponent because it's a guy who's kind of been through battles throughout the course mm-hmm. of his career.
I think this will be a much more telling week for both quarterbacks, you know, actually going up against an opponent who's a similar weight class to you, right?
Right.
So both guys will be under more pressure. Both guys will be in situations where they actually have to make plays.
Yeah.
And I think you'll be able to learn a lot more about both guys this week.
Yeah. It's, you know, like you mentioned, it is a team against which, you know, there is some history. That's, I think, always makes that much more interesting. I think it's also one of those games where just the proximity of the game, you know, the fact that it's not the Kansas team that you have the big rivalry against, but it's a Kansas team you've had, you know, big games against in the past. I think it's worth maybe discussing just real briefly, just in terms of how much, as we see this kind of fractured college football landscape and realignment and teams jumping from here to there and everywhere, I almost think sometimes that I'm a little more interested sometimes in these non-conference games against your more quote-unquote traditional foes than against your now traditional foes, where I think I'm a little more interested in this than I am seeing them maybe play, you know, Mississippi State or some, you know, some other SEC team with not a lot of history. So to me, this is almost like, I think this is a real fun week. I'm almost more excited about a week two game than I may be some week seven, eight, nine games.
Oh yeah, what was it last week? I think it was Pitt versus West Virginia, the backyard brawl,
right?
And it was, you know, one of the best attended games in Pitt history.
Like yeah.
That's a non-conference opponent, but it's, you know, it's your backyard.
Right.
It's a team you're competing with for a lot of recruits.
Sure.
Kansas and Kansas State both try to pull a lot of guys out of St. Louis, Kansas City.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to fight for a lot of those guys with these teams. There's history with those teams. And, yeah, as you see more and more conference realignment, I think getting those matchups, you know, once or twice a year where you're playing a team who you do have history with, where maybe you don't with Tennessee.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
Is going to be a lot more fun to see than, you know, especially with the big news this offseason being USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, you know, are you really interested in a USC-Maryland game?
Or
are you going to be more interested in week two or three when USC plays Washington.
Exactly. So I guess the big thing about this game is then how do we think, what's maybe the key to this week then for the Tigers? If they're going to get a victory, what do you think they have to do well this week?
Expanding the offense, for sure. They're not going to be able to rush as efficiently as they were last week,
sure.
Right? So there's going to be a bit more on Brady Cook, like we've talked about. And just, yeah, keeping it moving on offense. The defense, if they can play at any level similarly to how they did last week, that'd be incredible. They're going to give up a lot more than 11 rushing yards against Kansas State.
Right.
But, you know, if they're able to create a turnover or two, win the turnover battle, that's always a key to, you know, winning football games. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Just, I'm looking forward to watching how Brady Cook steps up in a, you know, a more, I was going to say more serious, a more pressure-filled game situation.
Sure,
and if he's able to do that, I think they should win.
Yeah. All right. I guess that naturally segues into the prediction point of the podcast. And how do you see this one playing out Saturday?
You know, I'll say it's going to be a pretty tough matchup. I'll give Missouri the edge and say Missouri 31-28.
That should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabey on Twitter at Kyle_McArabey. That's McAreavy. Thanks for listening.